produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hey, 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 good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, wherever you are in the world. It is Carla J.O., a.k.a. Rev O. Thank you so, so much for joining me. I have a very special guest with me today. We actually went to college together, and we're there at North Carolina Central University at the same time and discovered it years later. I want to welcome the wonderful and fabulous Elder Deborah Cheek. How are you, Sister Cheek?
I am so great, and it is wonderful to be up here with you, Carla. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, fantastic, fantastic. First, we're going to go ahead and pray, and then we're going to get into our fabulous interview with Elder Deborah Cheek. Deborah Cheek started an organization called Believing Wives. Now, if you're a believing wife, you also a praying wife. You also a praying wife. So this morning, we're going to pray first. We're going to pray first, and then we're going to talk to Lady Deborah. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, dear God, we just thank you and praise you for who you are in our lives, Heavenly Father. We just thank you for your grace, your love, your peace, your mercy, dear God. God, we thank you for Caleb Pratt. We thank you for Josie and Josie's inspirations. Please continue to give them wisdom as they move forward in ministry and as we are a part of that ministry. We thank you once again. We praise you. Please use Lady Deborah Cheek as your vessel this morning, your handmaiden, your servant. She's here just for you, oh God. We thank you. We praise you. Anoint the ears of those that will hear. Touch our hearts. Touch our minds so that we may use the information that is delivered and move forward and push forward your agenda of holiness. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, Lady Deborah, Lady Deborah, tell me, tell me, tell me, tell us all about not just Deborah Cheek, the wife, but Deborah, the person, because so many times once we get to a certain age, we're no longer Deborah or Carla or whoever, but we become mommy, we become wife, we become reverend, we become teacher in your case, and counselor and principal. And, you know, once you get children, you become doctor and lawyer and advocate. And all of those things. So tell everybody where you're from and, you know, about your life and how you progressed to where you are. I am so excited.
Awesome. I mean, you just kind of named all the roles that we have. But I guess I'll just start at the beginning. I was born in a small town of Clinton, North Carolina. It's in southeastern North Carolina. And went off to school in Durham, North Carolina, at the amazing North Carolina Central University.
Eagle Pride.
And I always knew I wanted to be a teacher. I always knew that's what I wanted to be. And so I pursued that with everything I had. Went to Central on a teaching fellow scholarship and came back to my hometown and started teaching. Got married when I was 24 years old, and just had, started popping out these wonderful babies. My husband and I have a total of seven. And life,
oh, wow.
You know, life was busy. Life was very, very, very busy. As I grew, I started understanding that, you know, God had called me to do more than just teach in school. He wanted me to teach his word because I always loved it. I loved to study it. And so after I received him as my Lord and Savior, a few years later, I was like, oh, I'm supposed to minister. Well, that was scary. Like, what does that mean? In my head, mm-hmm. I thought you had to be perfect. Like, you know, perfect to do this. And in all my studying, I failed to realize that God calls imperfect people. And mm. he uses us right where we are. He grows us and sanctifies us. And, you know, we go from glory to glory. But we don't ever start at perfection. And so I accepted that, and I thought, shoo, I'm good. You know, I'm just going to do this little thing right here. Thanks, God, you got me to this point. And he had other plans. So I kept growing and kept learning. I went back to grad school, get my master's in school administration, and I just kept having more of a desire to teach and minister God's word. So I started sending out these encouraging text messages to people. Mm-hmm. I find a scripture in the Bible, and I'd expound upon the scripture and about how that was practical in our lives, because I always felt like people preached at us, but
yeah.
didn't preach necessarily to us. And so I thought God's word was simple, you know, like just he tells us about childlike faith. Like sometimes we complicate it, so I tried to make it, you know, make sense for our everyday world. And somehow those encouraging text messages that I did for over a year became my first book, a devotional. And so from that, I just kept, you know, wanting, you know, learning, growing. I was ordained as an elder in the church, and God started really talking to me about this marriage thing, you know, the things I'd gone through. And I noticed that my husband and I always found ourselves talking to other couples. We didn't even call it mentoring then. You know, now everybody's coaching and mentoring and those types mm-hmm. of things. But we were just talking to couple friends. And they would mm-hmm. come ask us questions, and we would find ourselves going to lunch with people, or I'd be sitting, you know, talking to wives, and somehow marriage will come up, and all sorts of issues in marriage. I mean, you've been married, like I've been married for quite some time, and there are no.
Oh, how long? Well, Deborah, back up. How long have you all been married?
21 years.
21 years. Wonderful.
We've been married.
Wonderful.
21 years. We're legal now. And so,
yeah, y'all are real legal. With seven
legal
babies,
now.
Y'all are straight legit.
We've been married 21 years, but I found that people kept asking me questions, and you know, I had gone through some challenges in marriage. I was learning and growing. My husband was learning and growing. We were both independent people, you know, raised in a small town. You're taught a whole lot of traditional values, but you're also taught to work hard and be independent.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
I mean, you know, yeah. that I can take care of myself no matter what type mentality.
Mm-hmm.
My father always, you know, taught us all to make sure that we could do things independently.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you can't keep that independent mindset in a marriage. Like, we depend on each other to some degree,
and that's
a large degree.
And that's what I was going to ask you too, because I was raised with that with the same mentality, and both of us, I'm pretty sure, our parents came out of the civil rights movement, the civil
mm-hmm.
rights era, where we were taught, you know, make sure you have your own, you know, that gets you a good job, a good federal
mm-hmm.
job, a good state job, you know, a teacher,
mm-hmm.
something
mm-hmm.
that will bring in some regular income. But you're also taught to be submissive to your husband, and you
right.
have the, yes, you have to learn how to balance the independence and the submissiveness. And
right, and nobody tells you how to do that.
That's right. That's right, because with every husband, it's different. It's
right.
Not a cookie cutter for
right.
My marriage. Okay, at year number two, you need to be quiet. At year number three,
right.
You can talk. You know, at year,
right.
At year number seven, you know, just let him do what he want to do. But, you know, by the time we, and I'm at year number 19. So by the
mm-hmm.
time we get to year number 19 and 21, we back on that independent. We're back
well,
to
you
independent.
Know.
But using hey. It to our, using the submissiveness and the independence to our
right.
advantage, our advantage.
Right. Right, because
mm-hmm.
at 19 and 21 years, you don't necessarily need to be in each other's faces 24 hours a day. You've learned
yeah.
that,
and we're good with it.
We love each other, and we certainly spend time together. But you know, when you first get married, you want to you want to be that only friend.
Mhm. Mhm.
And you want to be the person that you know that's with all the time, and they get in the car, you get in the car, and you know. But then you learn, hey, this thing is solid. It's okay. God didn't
oh, yeah.
make us one so that we were the same person. He made us one because we complement each other. John
that's right.
has
that's
some
right.
strengths that are not mine, and I have some strengths that are not his. And so we don't lose our individuality because we get married. I tell the wives that I have the privilege of teaching that you know submission doesn't mean you lose your mind. Submission doesn't mean you don't have a voice. Submission doesn't mean that you don't, you know, have thoughts and good thoughts. Submission means you honor the person that God has given you as a head, and you are willing to discuss it. But it also there's also a scripture in the Bible that says we submit one to another. And so we can't
right.
throw that scripture out either. So that means sometimes John is like, yeah, baby, you've got the right idea on this. And sometimes he's like, you know, I think I know what we're supposed to do here. And I got to trust God enough that I don't throw a pity party, pack my bags, and leave because stuff doesn't go my way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maturity kicks in.
And then the other part, too, is the Word of God says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loves his church.
Absolutely.
And if my husband is loving me as Christ loves the church, and Christ died for the church, so if my husband is, yes, and if my husband is loving me as much as Christ loves the church, I'm going to trust in what he's saying. Unless
right.
I have some, unless I have some other intel from somewhere else, I'm going
right.
to trust. I'm going to trust
your
what he's saying.
Or your own trust issues. Right.
Yes.
If he's
mm-hmm.
loving me, and my husband quotes that scripture all the time when we're teaching together, he's like, people are always talking about how wives are supposed to be submissive, but y'all are missing this part in Ephesians where it says, husbands, you're supposed to love your wife like Christ loved the church. That ain't a passing kind of love. That was
that's
a
right.
giving love. That's a sacrificial love. That's a, you know, I'm not going to hurt her love. And that's why it's so important that when people are thinking about marriage, they think about all these things. Because liking somebody ain't enough in the hard times. Like, you gotta, you know, them being fine ain't going to get you through sickness and health. Like, you,
girl.
You
know, and them being fine ain't going to pay no bills.
Not one. So, I mean, and the love that Jesus is talking about, the love that God is talking about, is an enduring, unchanging kind of love.
Yes.
And
yes.
that's where we have to get to. That's why we need to be in partnership with somebody who loves us like that, but who also we love like that. Because in marriage, it's not, I think we've watched too many fairy tales. Well, we think, you know,
okay,
he just going to
yes.
make me happy and do what I want him to do. First of all, he's not the one that should be making you happy. You got to be happy in yourself. Like, we can't put our happiness, our peace, our joy in the hands of somebody else. This is why we have to have a solid relationship with God for ourselves. Now, our husbands will do things that make us happy, but they can't just keep working to make us happy all the time. Because sometimes we're wrong. Like, we forget that sometimes we're not right. Sometimes we miss it because we're human. We all do. So I just learned through this journey because I messed up so much, Carla, because I was like, you know, I felt like, you know, I didn't realize it at the time, but God was using the things I messed up on, using the struggles that John and I had, to empower somebody else so that hopefully they wouldn't have to endure what we endured. I think we forget that being a wife is a high calling. Before God ever set in office the apostles, the prophets, the pastors, the teachers, the evangelists in Ephesians, he called this woman to be a wife. That came before that. And we're so busy trying to be all those other things. We want to be, you know, great in ministry, but God started out wanting us to be great at home.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can't be so busy being the boss, being the CEO, being, you know, everything in our ministries and everything in our careers and falling short at home. I think we're forgetting that charity, love begins at home. Peace should be in our homes, and we have a hand in that. And so I just started talking to wives, and it eventually became like John and I led a ministry called Covenant Keepers at our church, where we just had events and sessions and workshops and different things like that with couples, and then it just branched off into believing wives, because if we're going to be successful, we got to believe God. Certainly people are believing for different things in their marriages, but we're believing wives because we believe God no matter what, that he's going to do what he said he was going to do, that we're going to be the women that he's called us to be, because God is holding us responsible just for our part. He's holding us responsible to fulfill the calling that he has for us. And so that's kind of a long way to how the believing wife came about. I just started kind of writing these things down about being a wife and learning from examples in the Bible, and that became a book. And the book became a Bible study. And then the Bible study led to some retreats and speaking engagements and conferences, and it's exciting. It's challenging because marriages face some hard situations sometimes. But I wouldn't trade it for anything. I love ministering to wives. I love walking people out, seeing people get it. I don't promise that, you know, coming to Believe in Wives or listening to a session or reading a book is going to fix every marriage problem, because it takes two people to do that. Three, really, because God has got to be the first person that's involved in it. But what I will do is empower a wife to do what God has called her to do. And when you do that, you'll see change.
Right.
Many times it's change in the marriage, but every time it's change in you. And so it's well with me as that happens. So, yeah, I love this, and I love talking about it. And I'm enjoying this conversation with you.
So what if you had one bit of advice, or the top five pieces of advice that you would give to not necessarily a new wife, but just a wife, period, what type of advice would you give?
The first thing I would tell any wife, and this is probably going to sound cliche, but I mean it with everything I have. Fall in love with God. Like, trust him, because you got to learn to trust God even when you're not trusting your spouse. You got to learn to trust God and believe him, because you won't do what God says in his word if you don't believe him. And situations and emotions can cloud our judgment. So if I'm not solid in what I believe God is saying, then I'm going to do what I want to do, which might cause further damage. So a solid relationship with God is number one. The second thing, this is a little more practical, watch your mouth.
I can't watch my mouth. It's attached to my face, and I'm usually yelling at somebody.
Watch your mouth. There's a scripture, Psalm 141:3, where the psalmist says, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth." Sometimes we are reckless with our words, and they are sharp and they are cutting. And words have power. You know, the Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. And we think we say something and move on, but that's not true. That stuff sticks. It sticks. And maybe because of the way we were raised, it was okay to say some things in our home. But we got to be careful of the things that we're saying. And, I mean, sometimes it's as simple as nagging. Sometimes we do a lot of complaining. Sometimes we do a lot of fussing and a lot of yelling. And we got to watch what those words, the effect that those words have in our home.
Yes.
So the Bible says in Proverbs 14:1 that a wise woman builds her house. But a foolish woman tears it down with her own hands. And it's that with her own hands part that gets me. Like, oh, I'm the person that's tearing this down. So we got to be mindful of our words. We got to be mindful of our words.
And for me, I think that was my biggest issue, or that has been one of my biggest issues, is making sure of what I say. And I can't – now, my parents were married for 43 years before my father passed away, and my husband's parents were married for 28 years before his father passed away. But one thing that I have learned is I can't always treat my husband the way I saw my mother treat my dad.
Because we're
still two different people.
Right.
You know, and my mother was able to put her pocketbook on her shoulder and walk out and say, I'm gone. You know, my daddy was like, okay, I'll see you when you get back. But I can't necessarily say, you know, I'm out, peace. You know, I'll be back in an hour. So, and because of the way he was raised, you know, his mom never just walked out of the house. So the different situations have been hard for me to adjust to, but knowing that my husband and my father are similar, but they're not the same person.
Yes. I would. I think you've just made an amazing point, because when I first got married, the first few years of my marriage, anything that went wrong, I called my daddy. Like, so if something happened with my car, I called my daddy. I call my dad.
But my husband, I didn't realize my husband was offended.
I did not realize it.
Because I was daddy's little girl. I'm the only daughter. And if I had a flat tire, I just call my daddy. That's what I was supposed to do. So my father passed away in 2013, and I can say that my relationship with my husband changed after my father passed away. So I was able to talk to him, say some things to my husband that I had been saying to my father. Share more with my husband than I was able to share with my father. And my husband is quiet. I mean, we are totally, total opposite. So a lot of times I did not think my husband was paying attention. So I wouldn't just say things to him. I call my daddy. You ain't paying me no attention. You not responding. You not saying anything. You know.
I call my daddy.
He'll say something back.
But, and I would get upset with my husband for not acting like my daddy. Well, my daddy would, as much as we, you know, laugh and joke and play and be like, you ain't my daddy. But then I wanted,
him to be like my daddy.
That sounds crazy.
But one thing we can say is that both of us had the blessing of having a good father. And a lot of women, especially African American black females our age, cannot say they had a father that was in the house and that was nurturing and, you know, just did what, quote, unquote, what he was supposed to do as a husband and as a father. So we had that example, so we know what we knew what we wanted our house to look like, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does. I think it's a twofold thing. Because we had nurturing fathers who were present, it made us compare our husbands to our fathers, and we had to overcome that. But for the women, black or white or Hispanic or whomever, because now it's become much more prevalent in other populations that didn't have a present father, they don't realize sometimes how they push them away. I can do bad by myself. I don't need you, because they came from a home where a man wasn't there, so they feel like they don't need one. But God created us to need one and for them to need us. So there are two sides of it, and both of us, whether we had a father or we didn't, have to come to, you know, a different understanding of what God's original plan was. We can't push them away, but we also can't keep comparing them to our dads. My mama gave me so much wisdom one time. She said, "You're looking at him as your father, but he was my husband." You know, like that. Those were two different roles. And the way he might have acted with you is not necessarily the same way he acted as my husband. And you're trying to see your husband like you saw your dad, and those aren't the same roles. And so it was very eye-opening.
And I saw my father as Superman. My daddy could do everything.
Of course.
And then you're going to look at me and tell me no? What do you mean no? Oh, I don't take no. I just couldn't deal with that first or the second no he told me. What? You're not going to tell me no. Oh, we're going to figure this out. But then every Monday he had Cub Scout and Deacons meeting at church. So, and this was right after we got married. So those Mondays, I did whatever I wanted to do. I would work late and go to the mall and eat dinner by myself because I knew I had those Mondays by myself. Well, this one particular Monday, he asked me, must have been in December, because we got married in October, so December, he says to me, where you been? Excuse me? It ain't none of your business where I've been. You know, it's a Monday night. I'm where I wanted to be. That's where I was. And I looked at him and I told him, I said, you know, my mama said don't ever ask anybody where they been between September and December. He said, why you say that? I said, because the answer is always the same. I was shopping for your Christmas present. But a couple days later, he came back and he said, you know, I wasn't asking you where you were to, track your growth or to know where you were. I was asking because I was concerned. And so, so even now, he'll call me up. Now he asked me that. So for Christmas that year, I got a cell phone, okay? He made sure I had a cell phone. But even now when he calls, if I'm out and about, he'll say, where are you, ma'am? So it's like, I want to ask, but I don't want to ask, but I want to know where she is.
Right.
So that watch your mouth is very important. So what's number three?
What's the next thing? Realize how important your role is. I mentioned it before, we can set an atmosphere as wives. We have influence with our husbands as wives. We got to take this role seriously. So many people work hard to be a bride. They can't wait to be a bride. They get an engagement ring and they're flashing the ring. And, you know, we put all this stuff into planning for a wedding because we can't wait to be a bride. But the point of being a bride is so that you'll be a wife. And then it's like after we get married, we're like, oh, well, I reached the destination. I can chill now. But if you don't value this role of a wife, you're going to sink into a stagnant relationship. You're going to become roommates and not lovers and people who enjoy spending time with each other. You forget how you used to sit on the phone all night long talking to each other and going, you hang up. No, you hang up. You hang up. No, you hang up. You know, you forget that if you don't take this role seriously. As seriously as we take being a mom, because being a wife comes first. Like, you know, we got to get this in order because it's a position that God has given us. He's graced us for, and there's a blessing in flowing in it the way that he would have us to flow in it. I don't know that we take the role of wife as seriously as we should, because it is important. We put so much planning into a wedding, spend thousands of dollars or something that's going to last 30 minutes and put very little effort into something that's supposed to last for the rest of our lives. And so I think we've got to flip that around and put more effort into having a thriving marriage that blesses each spouse and others, because people should see Christian marriages and say, I want that. We got to, you know, show people that being married is great. We have fun. I have somebody to do life with. This ain't boring. Like, a boring marriage is a choice. But we've chosen not to have one because he's going to fulfill his role, but I'm certainly going to fulfill mine. And being a wife is not just cooking and cleaning.
Oh, yeah.
As a matter of fact, my husband cooks just as much, if not more, than I do. And I think that goes back to what you were talking about. You know, submission looks different in every marriage, because my husband doesn't expect me to be standing over the stove every afternoon. You know, we got to have those conversations. So I think taking this role extremely seriously, just like we take the roles in leading our businesses and leading our ministries and being great moms, wife can't be on the back burner. It's got to be at the forefront.
Okay. So what other tips do you have?
I think timing is everything. So I would say, like I was speaking earlier about watch your mouth, I also think, you know, you got to use your mouth for blessing. You got to have great conversation. Married people have to talk. But sometimes we approach a situation that we really need to talk about with the wrong timing. So my husband used to tell me, don't hit me with something as soon as I walk through the door from work. Like, give me a minute to get in and get settled. Or, baby, why you wait till I'm watching the game to want to talk? And I was, I was a mess. I was such a mess that if I want to talk, we got to talk right now. So if I wake up at 2:30 in the morning and you over there asleep and I need to talk about it, I'm waking you up because we got to talk about this right now. Crazy. Like what in the world? You're going to wake somebody up out of their sleep because you can't sleep? Like, does that make sense? And so I think definitely communication is big. We've got to keep communication lines open, because one thing that the enemy would love to have is distance. If he can get us to grow apart, he can come in and create chaos and confusion because we don't know what the other person is thinking because we're not talking. But when we're communicating, especially about things that have importance, timing is everything. So don't wait till they're watching their game. If they're a sports enthusiast like my husband, don't wait till Monday Night Football to say, hey, babe, I've been wanting to talk to you about our finances. I mean, what? That's not the time. Or 2 years ago when you said da-da-da-da-da, you know, that really hurt me. Why did you wait 2 years to talk about it? And if you waited 2 years, why do we have to talk about it right now?
Right
now.
We'll
be off in an hour. So now, I think communication and timing.
Yes, those are good. So I have fall in love with God, watch your mouth, realize how important your role is, timing is everything, and keep the lines of communication open.
Yes.
So, Lady Deborah, I was perusing your website. Can you tell... Yes, ma'am. I am so impressed. Tell me about the books that you've written and give us the website address. And if people wanted to contact you, how can they get in touch with you?
Awesome. The first book I wrote was While He Is Perfecting Me, A Devotional for Your Weight. And it's 31 entries, scriptures, and a prayer about just growing on a day-to-day basis. I really like teaching to be practical, so it's stuff that you can think about in a practical way and apply immediately. The next book I wrote was The Believing Wife, and so I give biblical examples of wives and characteristics that they had, things we can learn from them, things we shouldn't learn from some of them, and my own personal struggles is included after every chapter in that book and how I applied the lesson that was taught about from the wife in the Bible. And then I have a companion devotional for the Believing Wife. It's called the Believing Wife Devotional. So that's paired with the Believing Wife. And then there's an ebook that I wrote last year, and it's called Pray, Wife, Pray. And it's 31 days of prayers for your marriage, for your husband, for yourself. Because as you said at the very top of this, a believing wife is a praying wife. Like, we communicate with God about what's going on. And I believe that if we communicate with God more, then we'll react in frustration a whole lot less. If we could get his perspective on a situation, we won't always be flying off the handle and, you know, messing things up even more. And so you can find all of those on the website, and it's just believingwives.com. You can find me on social media. Facebook is The Believing Facebook is Believing Wives. And Instagram is The Believing Wife. Any of those, it's at The Believing Wife on Twitter as well. So,
and your name is spelled Deborah, D-E-B-R-A, correct?
Yes, D-E-B-R-A. My mama wanted it short, I guess, but that's it.
So, so look, tell us about the retreat for, in 2019, and then tell us about the retreat for 2020 that was actually postponed and is coming up this weekend. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so we started doing retreats in 2018, so this is going to be our third year. Each year I take a group of wives on location. Our first year we were actually at a retreat center in Durham, North Carolina, and then we took it to the beach. So we've been going to the beach in March of the subsequent years, but because of COVID, we had to postpone the one for 2020, and so it's coming up in a couple of weeks. And so we go, we get empowered. Our theme for this year is one woman, and so we're talking about the fact that one woman can change the world. One woman can change her own world. One woman is powerful, and the Bible gives us so many examples of just how just one woman made a lasting change in the earth. And so we're excited about that. The speakers are wives. We fellowship together. We have time to sit and talk. We have like a pajama party at night. And it is just empowering and amazing. And we learn and grow so that wives don't feel alone. So many times we feel like we're suffering through things or we're the only one that's going through something. And because we've allowed shame to come in, we don't want anybody to know. Like, for whatever reason, we don't want people to know that our marriages aren't perfect, as if there's a perfect marriage out there. And so we hide it and we suppress it. But I thank God for a community of wives who are transparent and willing to share in order to help another wife make it through. So we have an amazing time, and God certainly meets us at our retreats.
Well, thank you so, so much, Lady Deborah, for joining us today. I have just been empowered just by listening to you.
Awesome.
And, just by listening. And I know this broadcast is actually broadcast all over the world. So I know that there are many women in the far places of this earth who may not have been able to reach you via Facebook or reach you via via Instagram, but they are able to hear this broadcast. And I know that there are so many women who are wives who are who have been empowered just by listening to just our conversation. And sometimes we take small things for granted, but I think this mm-hmm. conversation was just a small conversation between two girlfriends.
Yeah.
who are wives, and we are believing God to just stay in our marriages and to maintain our marriages and to keep us focused on what we need to be focused on with our individual marriages. Because, you know, first of all, every marriage is different.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so God is going to help us get through this. So thank you so much, so, so much for joining me today, joining us,
Thank you for having me.
Yes, ma'am. And I want to have you on again in 2021. I actually want to make sure that you are a regular in 2021. I had someone tell me that I could never be a wife, a minister, and a mother, because that would just take up too much of my time. So now I know that that's exactly what God created me to be, was a wife, a minister, mm-hmm. a mother, you know, and an entrepreneur. I mm-hmm. know that. I know that those were the areas that I was called to. So don't let anybody ever tell you, ladies out there, don't let anyone ever tell you what you can't do. Know and be secure in what you can do, and know and be secure in what God has called you to do. So let's pray. Thank you so much, Lady Deborah.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Do you have anything else you'd like to say before I pray?
No, I'm just so grateful and thankful that you had me up here. I love talking to you. And so I'm excited to be a part. And I love what you just said at the end about being a wife, a minister, and a mother. God didn't separate that when he called you. All of it is who you are. And so I'm excited about your life and excited about the great things God is doing. So thank you again for having me.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Heavenly Father, as we come to you once again, oh God, we just thank you and praise you for this beautiful conversation that Elder Deborah and I were able to have, Lord God. God, we know you are going to get the glory out of this conversation, Lord God. Let your word, Lord God, go to the highways and the byways, the far places of this earth. Let a wife be changed that otherwise would not have been changed by the hearing of this word today, Lord God. God, we are women out here trying to be the best wife that we can be for our husband, Lord God. We know that we were created out of his rib, not as a side piece or something on the side, but as something and as a beautiful vessel to be used mm-hmm. by your glory and the uplifting of your kingdom here on earth. Lord God, we were created as a helpmeet to help meet the needs of our husband and to meet the needs of you, Lord. We thank you, we praise you, we glorify you, we lift you up in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray, amen.
Amen.
Well, Deborah, thank you.
Amen.
Yes, thank you so, so much for joining us with Kayla Pratt and Josie's Inspirations Radio Network. We just thank you so much for being a part. And I hope you continue to grow in God, grow in grace. Ladies, please check Believing, BELIEVING, Wives, WIVES.com.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the Internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S., or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.